The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Stevie Nicol. A little later on in the programme, Don, Jan and Ali will be here to talk about the fallout from this week's Champions League matches. We start today's show in the Europa League, also at the quarterfinal stages. Manchester United beat Granada 2-0. Roma with a 2-1 victory away against Ajax. Finish Villarreal 1, Dinamo Zagreb 0. But we kick things off with Arsenal's 1-1 draw against Slavia Prague at the Emirates. Both teams having plenty of chances, but in the end, it's all to play for going into the second leg. Julien Laurent was at that game. Jules, disappointing night yet again for Arsenal.
Very frustrating. I mean, the way they concede that goal is just unacceptable. They must be one of the worst teams in Europe to defend a lead. Every time they seem that they give more chances to the opposition to come back in the game. And sometimes it's okay, like against Spurs, where they could have conceded late to drop 2 points, but they kept the win. Other times, like tonight and many other times, it's just not good enough. And very frustrating because at times they played quite well. They created some chances. They could easily have been 2-0 up before the Slavia equaliser, but you, at that level, you cannot give away goals like the way they did tonight.
Why didn't Aubameyang start, Jules?
I think the bad performance that he had against Liverpool was probably the reason why he was only on the bench. I mean, he came on and made a difference because he created the goal for Nicola Pepe. But after what we saw on Saturday against Liverpool, I think it was right for Arteta not to start him in a game like this. Not that Willian did much better, or Saka much better on the other side, but not that Willian, who replaced him position for position, did much better. But I think it was the right call for Arteta to say, you know what, I was very disappointed by what I saw against Liverpool, not just you, but a lot of the players, but you especially. And in a way, I guess that was a sanction.
Kind of do or die in the second leg, Jules, regarding pretty much Arsenal's whole season. They obviously make it to the final in Europa League, maybe win it. You can definitely hang your hat on that. If not, there's very little to be optimistic about.
The pressure is huge on that game, and you could see both ways. On one way, Arsenal pretty good away from home this season in the Europa League. They won 3-1 at Olympiacos, they drew 1-1 at Benfica, but they played quite well in that game. On the other hand, Slavia haven't lost in more than 2 years at home. The last time was Inter in the Champions League. So they're very, very strong at home, especially when they just have to defend the lead. And you could easily see this Sparta Prague being very solid and going five at the back and drawing 0-0 and going through to the semi-finals. So big task ahead for Arsenal, and a game that will define their season, because if they don't win this Europa League and don't qualify for the Champions League next season and finish 10th, let's say, or 9th in the Premier League, this will not be a good season. So I'm not going to say that everything relies on that game for the season, but certainly a lot of it is, and the pressure will be massive on Arteta and on the players.
Meanwhile, Manchester United with one step into the semi-finals with a 2-0 victory away against Granada. Jan and Ali with us to reflect on this game. What reflection shall we have on this game, Ali?
What happened is what should have happened. Manchester United should be a far superior team to Granada. Just a little bit of context as for Granada and who they are. 15 years ago, Granada were in the fourth division of Spanish football. So for them, Europa League is a dream come true. Mm-hmm. Whereas for Manchester United, is an afterthought, or perhaps they look down upon Europa League. This for Granada is sort of, well, we've done it. We've achieved something incredible. They are ninth currently in La Liga. This is a team that should not and would not be competitive against a club like Manchester United. And in the end, 2-0. And it was probably as comfortable as it could have been away from home for Manchester United. Even though they weren't great, Granada is simply not a good enough team.
No, United far from their best and maybe lucky to get that late penalty, Jan.
Yeah, they did a professional job. They went to Spain, got that result that they needed. I mean, the most common phrase of this game was "misses next match," because you felt like every Manchester United was booked, player was booked all the time, McTominay, Maguire, and so on. So they were lucky to get that second goal because I think there was a very soft penalty. It was a bad penalty as well, but Manchester United don't care. They won 2-0, did a professional job, and now they're in another semi-final, and Ole Gunnar will be up all night thinking of another semi-final, which has been a nightmare for him. But still, they are now very close to get to a final and to finally get a title.
There's still a second leg to be played, Jan. Let's not forget that. Old Trafford next week. Manchester United favourites, though, and big-time favourites as well, to go on and win the Europa League.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
That midfield of Real Madrid will control the pace of the game. And so it is up to Casemiro, Kroos, and Modric, who at their very best, when they play well and they play well together, they are the best in the world in those positions.
Don, you're not buying what Ali's selling.
No, I think Ali's been a little bit romantic of how Toni Kroos and Modric were playing probably 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. They were exceptional. But I would never swap Liverpool's midfield three for that three right now.
I don't care how romantic Don thinks I'm being right now. There's no chance that the midfield three or Real Madrid is inferior to that midfield three.
No,
let me be romantic. If I want to be romantic, let me be romantic.
I think if it's on paper and you look at the romantic names of Kroos and Casemiro and Modric, you go, my word, that is a midfield three. When it comes to playing against Liverpool's midfield three, I don't see them getting on the ball. I think they'll smother them.
We had so many tweets after Real Madrid's win against Liverpool about that debate. Here's just a selection. Please bring in Ali and Don. We need to discuss midfield romance, how the athleticism and legs of the Liverpool midfield will outplay the old and tired Real Madrid. Does Ali have any words for Don, who called him romantic for thinking Madrid with a better midfield and European pedigree would win the match? Ask Don which is more important in a midfield player, the amount of talent, if he's got legs, or just the romantic names. Of course, we had to bring Don to the show to discuss this. Don Hutchinson.
Well, I mean, where did Naby Keita come from? where did Jurgen Klopp say, I know what I'll do. I'm going to play Gini van Alden and I'm going to play Fabinho. I'm going to drop Thiago. I'm not going to play Curtis Jones or James Milner. I'm going to put Naby Keita in, who's hardly played this season. Where did that come from?
Don, how good were Real Madrid's midfield three?
Well, they were good, but they weren't that good. I mean, listen, Toni Kroos' ball was exceptional.
Good.
No, they were good, but they weren't outstanding. It wasn't like that midfield three controlled Liverpool's midfield three, and that was the difference of the whole game. Vinicius Jr. tore Trent Alexander-Arnold apart. No, Vinicius Jr. tore Trent apart. They were exceptional all over the pitch, and Liverpool's possession was shocking. So, of course, you give Toni Kroos the ball and you give Modric the ball, and they're thinking, what's happening here? They haven't even got the legs to win it back because they're playing Naby Keita. Gini van Alden was way off in the first half. And it just played into Real Madrid's hands. In the end, Ali was absolutely spot on, but no one in the world would have predicted Naby Keita starting that game.
So, Don, looking ahead to this second leg, would you still prefer the Liverpool midfield?
Well, I would, yes, because if they can try and play how they usually play by smothering...
It's getting worse!
You can't
it's
just say...
Worse.
It's not getting
parachute.
Worse!
Parachute!
Right,
take the violin!
Pull the plug!
No,
get the parachute
no,
out!
I'm not!
Taxi
I'm not,
for
I'm not
for
at
taxi,
all!
Taxi!
I'm not taxi. At all!
So...
I'll stand by what I said. I'll stand by what I said. If Liverpool's midfield three get close, to those three, they stop them from playing. If they let them have the ball, of course Modric is not going to give the ball away. Of course Toni Kroos is not going to give the ball away. They had it easy.
We should have had Don Hutchinson on the show tonight. He should have would have explained it better.
I should have been the manager. I should have been the manager, Jan.
Stevie, you used to play for Liverpool like Don. Do you see it the same as he does?
Do you know, I really was trying to help him. I'm thinking, how can I help Don here?
Right.
And the only thing I could come up with is if it was 2 years ago when it was Henderson, Fabinho and Wijnaldum at the best, then he could have an argument. But I'm sorry, Don, after that... I can't back
Stevie,
you up
why
with
wouldn't
anything.
I know you're right. You're right in what you're saying. But then why wouldn't Jurgen Klopp know this? So why would he play Naby Keita and not say James Milner?
Well, here's
away
the thing.
Away from home against Real Madrid.
Go on. Here's the thing.
These dogs had enough.
his options, right? His options weren't particularly great. Let's be honest. You know, James Milner's playing less and less. Yes, I would probably agree. Curtis Jones would have been the one for me. But then the fact is that he's complaining about players being tired, and if one guy's not tired, it's Naby Keita. I mean, it didn't work, that's for sure, but...
Let's take a look at the odds, shall we, for Liverpool to advance the next round, despite the fact they are 3-1 down going into that second leg at Anfield. No surprise, Real Madrid, big favourites. Liverpool 11-4. Don? What percentage do you give Liverpool to go through?
Well, if they play the way they did against Real Madrid, they've got no chance.
Well, yes.
They've got zero
they
chance.
They lost 3-1, so...
At all.
Yep.
No, they've got zero chance. Even if the performance was a mile off. Jurgen Klopp was right. Jurgen Klopp was right after the game when he said, listen, mistakes can happen. And mistakes can happen. But the level of performance in the first 20 minutes was atrocious. Liverpool have prided themselves for decades on keeping hold of the ball. Then I think what was more worrying is in the second half when Mo Salah scored, surely the Liverpool players must have smelt the game and know the game where they think, how on earth are we only 2-1 behind? Mm. Take a 2-1 and take them back to Anfield.
So 0%?
If they play the same.
Well, yes, if they play the same, obviously, but they're not going to play that badly, are they?
Well, I don't know how they're going to play. Would it stun you? Would it absolutely stun you if Liverpool beat them 2-0? Because it wouldn't stun me.
But that is not a 0%.
So we've gone from 0% to Liverpool winning 2-0.
No, what I'm trying to say, Dan, is if Liverpool liven up and play to their maximum, it wouldn't surprise me if Liverpool beat them 2-0. If they play like they did in the first game, no chance.
So, taking all these factors into consideration, what percentage chance would you give Liverpool of advancing to the semi-finals?
Well, Daniel, I've not got a crystal ball. I don't know how Liverpool are going to play. I don't know what their level of performance is going to be like.
Why do we do this show? Why even bother previewing games when you could just say, well, I don't know what sort of side's going to turn up?
Daniel, I played with a guy at Sheffield United. I played with a guy at Sheffield United called Don Hutchinson.
Right.
He had a great vision. He had a great vision, and he saw forward. He made great passes. I wonder what happened to that guy. I haven't seen him for a while.
He got divorced.
No. Ali's just absolutely owned me in the first leg. I've got no comeback. I've got to give props to Ali. Right. He called it.
Yes, but we're moving on from that now, and I'm asking you a question, Don, that you seem to be really struggling to answer.
No, I'm not. Well, how can I try and put an argument when I'm sitting here?
I don't want an argument. I want you to say Liverpool have got a 20% chance of advancing.
No, I'd give them a little bit more than that. I would say I will give them 30%.
Right.
Okay, good. And how much will you give Real Madrid?
70.
Hey! Oh, my goodness. Right, have we done enough of that?
I'll tell you what, we established before, you don't want Don as a lawyer. He argues against himself, for himself, against himself, for himself.
Let's talk about what's going on in Germany, shall we? What's this from front page of Bild, Jan? How do you translate this?
Well, the next round, what does Flick mean by that? Because he didn't want to comment on everything that is in the media. The thing is, what's happening now at Bayern is that, first of all, they're winning all games except this last game, but they're still winning games. But there's a fight between Hans Flick and Bratzo, which is Salihamidzic, the head of sport.
Right.
And the head, it's about. It's about power. It's about positioning.
And then you tweeted this today, Don, saying all signs from Munich telling me that Hans Flick will be the next German national coach. I've been wrong a couple of times in my life, but I don't think I will be wrong here. Bayern got to find a new coach.
Yeah, that was Jan. Jan who tweeted that. Yeah.
Okay. Why? What did I call you?
Don.
You call me Don, but show from Don.
I've got Don on my head. So, Jan, you tweeted that. So, Flick is going to go mainly because of what's going on upstairs?
No, not at all. I think what I do now is that they look for an end game because Joachim Löw will leave the head as head of the German national team. And candidate number one in Germany is Hans Flick. He worked there as an assistant from 06 till 14. He's a world champion. He's been in a lot of roles in football. And they want Hans Flick. So now they're looking for an end game. What will they do? Well, they keep going on with this fight because Bayern Munich don't want him to leave because they don't have an alternative. They would love to have Nagelsmann, but I can't see that happening. RB Leipzig would let him go. So they keep on going about this thing that started with a power battle about new players. For example, Salihamidzic doesn't like that Flick always plays with the players that will go out in the summer, like Boateng and all these players, Alaba, who goes out in the summer. And the new players, he means, hasn't got all the credibility or all the strength that they have. And before this game, suddenly at the press conference day, suddenly there was about Boateng. Yeah, we'll take him out. And Flick is not that kind of player in the media. So what I think is that they're now looking for an end game. They will have to find a way, and then they will say in the summer that Hans Flick will be leaving because of this. But I don't think so. I think, honestly, personally, that Hans Flick wants to be the new German national team coach, and Bayern got a problem because then Bayern needs a new coach.
Well, Bayern, of course, have got a problem more in the short term as they need to turn over a 3-2 defeat that they, of course, picked up in the Champions League this week, going into Paris next week. According to the bookies, let's see who they have as favourites. PSG, 3-1 on. Very much heavy favourites. Bayern, 9-4. Ali, what was interesting yesterday, Xhaka, Craig, Frank, Jurgen all thought that Bayern would have come back and go through to the semi-finals. Do you agree with them?
I do. I think Bayern Munich is a far superior team to PSG, regardless of what the score line was yesterday. Now, here's what was surprising about Bayern Munich. Coming into the match, if you had said, well, there's going to be a team with a plan, who's going to look structured, who's going to look like a machine, who's going to be efficient and effective in the way they play, you would have said, that would be Bayern Munich, obviously. Mm. Because having seen PSG coming into this game, they had no structure. They had no organization. It's just individual talent kind of popping in and out of spaces and perhaps resolving a problem for them. They had not been playing well. And yet, I thought Bayern Munich got panicky, got desperate, got disorganized, got stretched. All the things that you don't expect from Bayern Munich, it happened to them. And because they got stretched, because they felt like they needed to get after PSG, because they felt like they needed to score goals, because they thought that the game was getting away from them, that actually played against them. And so now you have Kylian Mbappe running at with free space and time and all sorts of ability and skill. He exploited his abilities and skills because Bayern Munich allowed that to happen.
So why would that change? Why would that change, Ali, why would that change in the second leg?
Because I imagine that a team that has been as successful as Bayern Munich would recognize that once they sit down and they watch themselves play, they can go, how in the world did we lose this? And so there are ways to attack PSG, and there are ways to exploit the spaces that PSG affords you, and also not be so disorganized behind the ball as Bayern Munich was. And I think Bayern Munich will correct that. I don't think PSG can get any better. I don't think that PSG all of a sudden is going to take their game to a different level entirely. I don't think they have that in their game. We saw what PSG are and what they will be. It's up to Bayern Munich to finish their chances and defend better. And I think they can do both.
Jan?
I, I don't agree with the boys. I think there is a big chance that the Bayern Munich, maybe the biggest favourite to win the Champions League, will be knocked out in Paris. There are different reasons for that. It's point one, Süle is out. That is one defender. Goretzka is out. He probably out for the game. Goretzka and Kimmich maybe being the key players to the stability of Bayern Munich going forward. Lewandowski is out, and we saw that how much that meant. The replacement should be Gnabry. Choupo-Moting, yes, he scored a goal, but they had 25 chances against PSG. I'm not 100% sure that Bayern will manage to do this, because Bayern away with that defense standing high, and you can say, yeah, they did that in the Champions League knockout stages last summer as well. But this year in the Bundesliga, have a look at how many goals they conceding. And Neuer, great, great goalkeeper, has saved them in many games. And in this game, even him, he did a mistake. So this could be the big surprise that PSG will knock Bayern Munich out of the Champions League.
But it's not a surprise. That's the whole thing, isn't it? It can't be a surprise now with PSG being such big favourites, Jan.
No, but it's still a surprise because you have to see it over two games. Yes, in this game, PSG, I mean, Bayern Munich, if you saw the numbers, if you saw the stats, Bayern Munich with Lewandowski would have probably won 6-2. They would have killed him, but it didn't happen. And you'll see now in the away game, and you see a PSG team who are struggling in the French league. They're losing as Lille. Lille is number one in the league, so this is not the best PSG team. But still, they managed to score the goals against Bayern Munich, and that is not the strength of this German champions.
Now remember, Bayern Munich need two goals at least if they're going to go through, Don. I know it was no Villarreal Dinamo Zagreb, the game that you just called for the UK, Don, but what a match this was.
It was unbelievable. It was a frightening game. It was one of the best games I've seen for a long time. And, you know, I agree with the boys where I think Bayern might go through. I think Pavard surely has to go and play as a centre-half. I think it's an emergency just to try and offer that bit of strength and pace. But I thought Coman was excellent. I thought Leroy Sané was on the fringes of being excellent. He was terrific 1v1, just couldn't provide that final ball and final moment. But the last half an hour of the game was all Bayern. You know, I was watching the game and I was tweeting alongside lots of people across Europe when we were trying to predict the final results. I thought it was going to be 3-3.
Outside Europe, people care about soccer.
Well, you know what I mean. But the way the game was going, it felt like if Bayern took their chances, and Jan's right, if Lewandowski had played, he'd have scored five.
But he won't play.
And he won't play in the second leg of the game. No, I know that. But watching the game without him, they still created 30-odd chances and good ones. And a true scoreline of the game could easily have been something like 6-3 Bayern. They were fantastic second half, I thought, Bayern.
Yeah, I agree with you that they were fantastic, but you also know that PSG will score goals.
Yeah.
You just feel that every time they will score a goal. Yes, Bayern was dominant, but still, PSG was a part of the entertainment. I mean, PSG going forward was efficient and so on. So I think this could be the big one.
Where do you stand on this, Stevie?
PSG will score goals if you allow Kylian Mbappe to run at Nicolas Sula like he's not even there. Or you allow Kylian Mbappe to run and Jerome Boateng and he's backing up. At some point, Bayern Munich has to be able to address Kylian Mbappe and not leave your center backs, your two big center backs, and saying, yeah, you guys got him. Yeah, with speed. Yeah, you got him. On a high line, yeah, sure, you got him. That's a part of the game that I didn't quite understand from Bayern Munich, how disorganized they were in the back line when they had possession of the ball.
I'm like everybody else. I think Bayern can win the second leg and go through. However, it's a little worrying when it seems that everybody at Bayern is suggesting that the way they went about it the other night is fine.
Yeah, this is what Flick said after the game, didn't he?
Because how is it acceptable when you go about a game in a certain way and you lose and you think that's okay? Particularly, and we can talk about the chances and we can talk about who was and wasn't playing. But the fact of the matter is, if you're playing against a side that has Neymar and Mbappe in it, and you want to open up and give them opportunities, then you're asking for trouble. They have to take a leaf out of Pep's book. Look at Manchester City. That's pretty much what they were. They were like, you know what? We're just going to score more goals than everybody else. And sometimes they came unstuck. They have to do that. They have to work defensively, a good starting positions when they're going forward, not when they lose the ball, because it's too late then. So they have to take a leaf out of Pep's book, and if they do that, they can still go and beat PSG. They don't have to take a gamble, because that's what it would be. If they go and do what they did the other night, I think they're gambling with their own chances. So it depends how they go about it.
Yeah, and what's the big difference between this version of Bayern Munich and the one that beat PSG in the Champions League last year?
Robert Lewandowski, point one. Point two, that they are conceding too many goals now. There is a pattern now. They're losing 3 goals at home in the Champions League. And they're losing goals in the Bundesliga. And that is a big thing. Remember when we had the knockout stages last season, before the Champions League final, we said, could they have this back four so high, Mbappé, and they will kind of kill them? Well, they didn't. They won the Champions League. But this time they did. And I didn't like the comments after the game. And I agree with Stevie on that. That they say, well, this is the right way to play because we created so many chances. Well, ask Mbappé how he thinks their system was. I think he find it quite good.
A lot more reaction to what happened in the Champions League this week on the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. Derek Ray, their special guest. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Just a reminder, you should go over to our YouTube channel. Be sure to subscribe. Plenty of video content over there as... Shaka joins the party. Don and Jules with us as well. Shaka can only be here for one thing, and that's got to be the power rankings of the week. How very exciting. Go on, Shaq.
Back by popular demand, Dan. You forgot to mention that part. Yeah. Get a number 10. Everyone number one. Let's start going from top. Okay. Manchester City. All right, not great against Dortmund, but they get the job. Inter Milan continue to do just runaway things in Serie A. PSG in at 3, Real Madrid 4, Chelsea at 5. Despite what happened against West Brom, they rebounded well in the Champions League. Bayern after losing to PSG down to 6. Barca back in. Haven't called their name for a long time. Manchester United in at 8. Lille back top of Ligue 1, 9. Atalanta, who are making a real run of things in closing down the gap with them and Juventus the third. Back in at number 10. And this week, there is no arguing with that. I'm confident.
What happened?
Not even Jules.
What happened when Lille played PSG, Shaq, at the weekend?
Lille won.
So they're a better team than PSG?
Well, PSG won in the Champions League, so they get bonus points.
But Lille couldn't play in the Champions League.
Bonus points.
So they got no bonus points.
Don, I always feel you're the most invested. In fact, maybe the only person who cares about Shaka's power rankings.
I love the power rankings, but they're an absolute shambles.
Oh dear.
So Bayern Munich lose. Chelsea lose 5-2 against West Brom. Glasgow Rangers haven't lost in a million years, and they can't even end the top 10. They should be first or second.
Rangers.
And not even in the top 10. Chelsea lost. Bayern lost. Rangers unbeaten. Go out of the top 10.
PSG,
yes,
beats Bayern Munich, right?
Yes.
And Inter Milan beat Bologna.
Sassuolo.
Sassuolo. Oh, excuse me. Now I understand it.
Right.
So how are Inter ahead of PSG? How's that possible?
I don't ask him.
I'm asking him. Shaq, how's that possible? You beat Sassuolo, because Bologna Inter the week before that.
Because Inter haven't lost in forever.
Well, Rangers haven't lost all season. But they're not in the top 10, so that can't be a reason.
What was that?
I said Rangers haven't lost all season, so that can't be a reason for keeping Inter there, because Rangers are not even in the top 10.
Didn't the Rangers just get knocked out of the Europa League?
Yes, they did.
They haven't lost a game in the Premier League.
That was about a month ago.
The Scottish Premier League.
The Premiership.
Yes. And Inter have just beaten Sassuolo.
Yes, but you can't then start saying the Premiership is on par with the Italian league.
No, but he's the one that brought up that they haven't lost for ages.
Right.
And Rangers haven't lost all season.
Yeah,
they're
Europa
not even
league,
in the top 10.
Got knocked out of the
but Inter are second in this, whatever you call this list.
So have Inter played Rangers?
Well, it would be for the second spot then, wouldn't it? Really?
Jules?
I want to be kind to Xhaka, so I'm going to be kind tonight. And I've said it before, to be fair, but the only good thing is the music in the power rankings.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah,
I think this is a win. Jules has said not a whole lot. Dan is defending the power rankings. That's a pretty good week.
That's it.
Okay, give me a minute. Where?
No. Dan's Eintracht Frankfurt. Wrap it up, Dan. Let's go.
That's it.
Where's Frankfurt, who've lost 1 in 15?
Oh, wrap it up, Dan.
Where's
Frankfurt,
Shaq? Real Sociedad just won the Copa del Rey.
Yeah.
They're fifth in the table.
Yeah.
Shambles.
Good, Dan.
More shambles, of course, on Extra Time. Be sure to check it out over on our YouTube page. El Clasico this weekend, Real Madrid against Barcelona, and there's far from just bragging rights at stake. A huge game regarding the title race. Remember, Atleti in free fall at the moment. We'll, of course, be looking ahead to the game in more detail tomorrow. A game that Barcelona, according to the bookies, go into as favourites. Ali, you're not with us tomorrow, so as you're here, let's ask you about this game. So many different subplots coming into this match. A fascinating tie ahead.
Yes, sir. Indeed, it will be. And let's not forget the perspective of Atletico Madrid, who are sitting on the sidelines with pom-poms, cheering hard, and I mean really hard, for a draw. Mm-hmm. And in worst-case scenario, for Real Madrid to win instead of Barcelona. Now, putting Atletico Madrid to the side because they have their own issues, let's look at Real Madrid and Barcelona. Real Madrid now coming after this very impressive performance against Liverpool, but a performance in which they left a lot of legs on the field. And towards the end of that match, it felt like Real Madrid, those old legs were getting a little tired. And now they have to look forward to the second leg against Liverpool. And so what happens in the middle of it all? Well, they have to play El Clásico and a Clásico that matters. As for Barcelona, they beat Valladolid. Yeah, more stressful than it needed to be. This was on Monday. So on pure mathematics, you're looking at Barcelona with 2 extra days of rest than Real Madrid. And then they don't have to concern themselves with a second leg of whatever. And so to me, when I think of who has the advantage coming into this game and who has the momentum, even though both teams come from wins, it has to be Barcelona, because indeed they'll have fresher legs. It's a team that now seems to be playing with a purpose in La Liga, while Real Madrid does not have the depth, and they do have injuries, they have COVID situation. One of the big questions for Real Madrid has been that depth. That depth will be tested this weekend. I think it's Barcelona. They win it 2-1 at Real Madrid.
Ali Moreno, thank you very much. Of course, we'll be looking ahead to this game in much more detail on tomorrow's show. Be sure to join us.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It is one of the biggest games in the world of football this weekend. Real Madrid against Barcelona in El Clasico. So much to play for, of course. Atleti very much opening the door for either one of those two to go top of the table. Just a reminder, we'll be looking ahead to that game in much more detail on the next edition of the show, so be sure to join us. Well, that's it. That brings us to the end of today's program. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. We'll be back tomorrow for more, of course, very much focusing on that big game in Spain. Until then, goodbye. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Stevie with me in the studio. Don, Shaka and Jules with us as well to answer some of your tweets. Stevie, how long do you think it will take for Trent to sort out his defending, or should he just move to into the midfield?
That's a tough one. I'm trying to think if he's capable of actually sorting it out. You know, at the end of the day, all players have got a certain, you know, set of skills. And just maybe one-on-one defending is not in his armoury. And there's nothing to suggest so far that it will be. So, listen, if Liverpool keep playing the way they're playing, then they're just going to have to bite the bullet and put up with the fact that he can make mistakes defensively, but going forward he can be absolutely fantastic.
Jules, do you think Madrid can muster up 150 million to offer for Mbappe? And do you believe the reports that he's told PSG he's leaving this summer?
I don't believe he's told anything to anyone. And then for Real Madrid and the money, I find it hard to believe that they can unless they sell players, the likes of Isco and Bale and players they don't want, and then make money that way to fund the transfer of Kylian, then maybe, yeah, maybe. But it's a pandemic, as we've said, all clubs have been hit quite hard. They've spent $500 million renovating the stadium, for example. I'm not sure the 150 million could be available for them this summer to go and buy Kylian, but if they can, then certainly they would try to recruit him.
Jules, why did you leave our WhatsApp group today? Did I upset you? What's happened?
What?
It was me, you, and a mutual friend in a WhatsApp group, and I just had a message saying Julianne has left the group.
Well, I thought that was, the conversation was over.
Well, it might continue another day, but now it won't. That's it. Just cut the
conversation over
on the face.
Conversation over.
That's it. Julianne has left the group.
I didn't think you set that up for life, but I'll go back on it.
No, you're not invited now.
Can you invite me again?
You're not important enough, Dan, are you?
It's blocked, no.
I bet you're still on Neymar's.
Oh, right? All of Neymar's WhatsApp.
I bet you're still on Neymar's.
Cooey.
No danger.
You know.
Stevie, well, let's not ask Stevie, let's ask Don this. Don, who would win a race between Stevie and Sula?
Stevie. Stevie. I reckon Stevie would.
Now, it was interesting because during the Bayern Leipzig game, someone highlighted the fact that he was the fastest player on the pitch.
No. Get it right.
Wow.
They said that clocked at running in a particular time in the game at the highest pace of anybody.
So he was the fastest player on the pitch.
No. See, you're broadening that to he's just fast.
No.
Which is not correct.
No, I'm saying that is factually correct.
He was clocked as doing a particular speed that was higher than anybody else on the field.
Which was faster than anyone.
No. Let me put it a different way to you, right? I'm going to say that Sula was one of these guys that if it's a race over 60 yards.
Yes.
He may be fast. Unfortunately for Sula and his teammates, it probably takes him 30 yards to actually get from dragging himself from a start to a decent speed. And unfortunately for him, there are not that many 60-yard sprints with a ball at your feet. So there you go.
Shagger, how would you fancy your chances in a running race between the guests today?
I think I could do them all, actually.
Who's wandering around behind you? What's going on?
That's my daughter. She's going to practice. She's got soccer practice now, so she's heading out.
She's going to practice in the room.
Ask her who would win a race between you and her.
She's left already. I would.
You think so?
Mia! She's gone.
Well, she's fast.
Yeah, I would.
Don, would you fancy your chances in a running race against this lot?
All day long. Shaq has not beaten me in a race.
No
goalkeeper is ever going to beat me in a race. I'm not having him.
Listen, Don can't beat me on his bicycle.
You're not quick. Shaka, you're not quick. You've never been quick.
I'm quicker than you. I'm confident of that.
Go on, Jules.
You know, you English people have a sports day.
Yes.
At your kids' school, right?
Yeah.
And there's a dad's race, I believe. Not that I've never done it, but I'm sure in the dad's race, Don wanted to win, or Shaka probably as well. They were just dying to do the dad's race to go and win and show like who was the fastest.
Of course. Imagine the embarrassment.
Yeah, but Jules, you never beat the other dads by a large distance, you see. You've got to be cute, you've got to be smart.
No, you've got to do enough.
Why?
No, you don't want to embarrass them. I won mine by about 50 or 60
yards.
No danger.
Were you in full Liverpool kit?
No, I tell you what, I heard the gun go and I was off.
The B of the bang. Jules, if Barca win La Liga, would selling Suarez to Atleti be justified? Also, would you say Koeman did a decent job? This is after you saying he's the worst manager in the world.
Yeah, I mean, but worst managers can improve, and he certainly did improve. And it would be a great season if he wins La Liga, for sure. It's probably the only thing he would ever win. So well done to him if he does that. Maybe the Copa del Rey as well. Let's not forget, they're in the final too. But the selling Suarez, despite the fact that they did it poorly, the way it happened, that phone call, all that was wrong, but they just didn't think that financially he was worth the money that they would have had to pay for him at his age with one knee, you know, available and not the other one. So you can understand as well, even if Atleti then end up winning the title and Suarez played a big part, you can also you can kind of understand why they let him go, even if he could obviously come back to haunt them if Atleti and Suarez win.
Who has the best first touch, Don, that you ever played with or against?
Oh my days. Me and Stevie would probably say Johnny Barnes.
Right.
The Canio might be up there. I think those two, off the top of my head. No one at Everton, no one really at Sunderland. Probably okay. Barnes or the Canio.
Stevie?
There's a lot of players that would get a fantastic first touch. I mean, I think all the players that have won Champions League and Premier League and everything. Your first touch has to be up there.
Okay. Any names you'd like to give us?
Too many. There's a lot on them. Yeah, I mean, Don's right, but then you can start adding
Sheringham,
loads of names.
Zola.
There's millions of them. Souness, Dalglish, Anson. I mean, there are millions. You go back years. Liam Brady, people like that. I mean,
right.
George Best.
Oh, okay.
I mean, do you want a who's who of the last 50 years of British
and European
football?
I don't know, Steve. I think you're taking this question very seriously.
Well, you don't want us to take it seriously.
No, but you're like, oh, well, you know, it's
well, because we want to give a good answer, that's
right.
Why.
Okay.
We do take this seriously. Maybe you don't, clearly.
Well, no,
we
I
do, right, Don? Jack?
You wanted to gang up on me.
Hi.
Well, yeah. Don gave us two names, that was it, and then you went in, down this rabbit hole.
Keep my mouth closed in the future, then. That's what you want.
Oh, my goodness. Let's...
Less is more. Is that what you're trying to say?
Jules, once we can travel again, I'd love to see a game in France. What are the top three game day atmospheres in Ligue 1?
You've got your choice of going anywhere. You've got your France.
Hey.
Seriously.
We've got great atmosphere. He's not talking about what happens on the pitch. He's talking about what happens in the stands, right?
Yeah, right. Atmosphere.
Oh, you like frog's legs, yeah.
So, oh my goodness.
Oh my, here we go again.
Here we go.
Oh dear, Stevie. What happened to less is more? Okay, Jules, where should this person go? The best atmosphere.
Yeah, go to Marseille and watch a Marseille PSG game or Marseille Nice. Go to Lyon or Saint-Etienne, maybe more Saint-Etienne, to watch the Rhône derby between Saint-Etienne and Lyon. And then you have to go to the Parc des Princes because it's the most beautiful stadium in the world, of course. Finish with the Derby du Nord between Lille and Lens, for example. The atmosphere at Lens, especially, that's one of the greatest atmospheres in France. Right, great choice, Ligue 1, by the way. Really good choice.
Let's switch gears, shall we? Stevie, how's the diet going? Will you be getting buff like Frank this summer?
No. Not going at all. It's completely collapsed. We'll return another time.
What was the catalyst for the collapse?
The catalyst for the collapse was going to my son's in Philadelphia.
Right, wasn't that a few months ago?
It was, yeah.
Right, so why couldn't you get back on...
I don't know. I'd actually lost 8 pounds, right? I was doing great.
Yep.
And then I went to my son's.
Right.
For like 5 days.
Okay. Put it all back on.
And it just fell apart. And then that was it.
That's it. Then you're on vacation.
There'll be another one. I'm going away next week. So the plan is to try and go again.
Yep. After vacation. Yeah. Right, Don, last couple of questions are for you. This one you have to focus on. It's quite complicated. In scientific terms, what percentage of a piece of cheese's original molecules remain after it is melted, subsequently altering the original state of the cheese? Does the resulting poor taste of the warm cheese occur from an atomic or quantum change?
Who sent that?
That's from Don's University of Mathematics and Percentages.
Mate, I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Okay, let's...
The fact that you looked up cheese, that's not ridiculous either.
Okay.
But I mean...
All right, Don.
Go
this
on.
Is your, the last question's easier. Would you rather read a 200-page book or eat a full grilled cheese?
200-page book.
But you don't like reading.
Without a shadow of a doubt. No, but I can read a book. I've read sports autobiographies. I'm just not into film books. I like to watch movies. I can't imagine reading the Shawshank Redemption and going, right, I've just read half an hour of that. I'll put that down. I'll come back tomorrow and I'll pick up exactly where I left off. That's why I like watching movies like The Godfather, 1, 2, 3, all the gangster movies, all movies you can get into it.
Ah, oh, dear.
Casino! Gangster movies. Godfather 2.
Where do you stand on reading?
The best movie of all time.
Books are way better than movies.
Rubbish. I think people say that to sound trendy.
Yes, Shaq.
No.
Yeah. Just admit it. Julian likes a movie.
My first experience of this, I'm going way back now to my teen years. I saw the movie The Color Purple.
Yep.
And then read the book. Somebody gave me the book after. And the book was so much better.
Don't want to have seen the colour purple.
And it's the same for 90% of books, movies.
Never heard of it. That's the only movie you've ever watched, The Colour Purple. Not watched another movie. You've not watched Godfather 2.
I've not read the book.
Oh, goodness. Jules, books or movies?
You have to go books, Don. I mean, I love a movie, but...
Honestly.
But by definition, Don, I know, Don, listen. Don, I know you can't work out percentages, but surely you can't put everything that's in a book in a movie, right? You can't put 500 pages in an hour and a half. So you can just imagine that in a book,
get the character,
the same story...
I can't see the character, I can't see what he or she... I can't see what they look like. How are they dressed? I can't see who they look like. Get a book with pictures in it.
You better see what they look like.
Is a book going to turn around and go, oh, do they tell you in a book, oh, he was dressed in a black suit with a white shirt and a black tie, and he had a cravat on, and he had shoes on with laces, or did he have loafers on? The book's not telling you all of that. About a million pages long, then.
This is the definition of a book. You describe for so people can feel that they can see it or be part of it.
No, but what you want to see, but you want to see the emotion on their faces. You can't get that in a book, surely.
But words give you that
when
emotion.
When Clint Eastwood's shooting someone in the cowboy movies, I want to see how they go down.
Oh, my God.
Are they going to tell you what Clint Eastwood wore and how many bullets he had across there?
Yes.
He had 67 bullets on his thing, didn't he? Well, in the book, he had 67 bullets across there on a diagonal.
I've got a book here.
Right, really.
It just so happens I've got a book here.
What's the book say, Steve?
And he marched down the aisle with 65 bullets round his waist.
Was he wearing laces or loafers?
Yeah, did he?
Unfortunately...
What colour was his horse?
Unfortunately, he left his slippers on and didn't put his cowboy boots on.
Stevie, where do you stand on books?
I'm with Don,
though. What colour was his horse?
Your movies?
Yeah.
Unless it's your book, of course.
Well, unless, of course, it's mine, but you can read that in a short period of time, Dan.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yes, you wouldn't want to put that down?
No.
Don, do you talk about what you're wearing in your book?
Unfortunately, I never thought about that at the time, but I could go back and rewrite some of it.
Oh, crikey. Ah, that's it. Oh, there we go. Thank you very much, everyone. The ESPN FC will be back tomorrow. Be sure to join us as we'll be looking ahead to El Clasico.